Pass me that champagne. There's a sweetie.
What?
The champagne, darling. Pass me it, would you? Darling?
What?
I said, could you pass me that champagne?
What?
What the bloody hell's the matter with you tonight, Oliver?
I'm distracted by your floating tatties in thy bath!
My floating tits?
Let I get thy hands on them?
Oliver! Oh my, unhand me! Oliver!
We'm going to brew ourselves a baby tonight!
You filthy beast!
Speaking about things they've seen on the TV. Speaking about things insensibly. They're watching rubbish show so that you don't have to. Then they'll watch another. They'll watch with mothers. Okay.
Hello, listeners, and welcome to Watch Your Mothers podcast number 23 from watchwithmothers.net.
Watch With Mothers!
My name's Swineshead. Hello, I'm here with Napoleon.
Hello!
Hello there, how are you doing?
I'm all right, thanks. I say I'm all right. I'm better than I was, obviously, but I'm not tip-top, not 100%, not yet.
It's becoming traditional now for you to list your woes at the beginning of the show.
Yeah, well, I've got Clarians, readers of the site, watchwithmothers.net, will know that Clary has a hideous leprosy disease on her hands, and I appear to have caught it off her, even though I had it from way back, but that's neither here nor there. But I got that, but luckily my cold's cleared up, almost, anyway. I've got a bit of throat thing, you know, but I'm all right.
Well, that's good, because you were a bit under form last time.
I was a bit, wasn't I, really? But that didn't stop us producing Paul Daniels' Gold.
Well, it was magical.
It was magical, yeah. I thought it was one of the most beautiful things I've ever heard, if I'd never heard anything else.
True. So, just to explain, listeners, we're re-recording this preamble after recording the show, which is the way things should be, really.
I'm not happy about this.
You're not happy about it? Well,
no, I'm not happy about it. I like the old ways.
Well, this is better, though, isn't it? Because now we can sum up what we've talked about and just give them a little bit of a teaser.
Yeah, we can give them a little bit of a teaser, but I like the old way we did it.
Right, fair enough. Well, I'm sorry about that, but the thing is, we recorded part two, having already recorded another preamble, and we refer back to the preamble which they're not going to hear in part two, and it's stuff about pooing out melons, so they're not going to understand it at all.
No, we did a whole thing on shitting melons. So, yeah, as will be coming up, if you hear either me or Swineshead referring to shitting melons, it's because we recorded this whole bit, which obviously we're not allowed to have now. So that's what the shitting melons thing's all about.
Yeah, well, that was hard to explain. What are we talking about this week?
We're talking about sex. Bit of sex. Lovely sex. Oh, yeah. Everybody likes sex, even monks. And as Catholic priests have proved, they like sex quite a hell of a lot too, even though they're not allowed.
Right. A little bit
of politics.
Yeah, what's the word? You're making... You're making imps.
Imper? Is that, what's that? Is that French? Imper? En père?
Oui, tu es. Tu parles l'imper.
Avez-vous un imper?
See, what you're doing is you're...
Filthy French swine, get out of my country!
You're trying to sabotage this preamble, aren't you?
I'm not trying to sabotage the preamble. I really love the idea of recording it last with your imper!
So, yeah, the plan is... Well, what we've already done is... This isn't working, is it?
No!
Watching TV in our pants. Get out the mini chanders. It's Watch With Mothers. It's Watch With Mothers.
Right, listeners, we probably shouldn't have veered off into strange territory there. We should have...
Shitting melons. I'm sorry about that.
Yeah, no idea how that came about, but we should probably tell you what this week's podcast is about. If you haven't already guessed, what are we talking about?
Well, as promised last week, we're doing sex. We're talking about sexy stuff, sexy TV. Sex on the TV. Oh, yeah.
Sex on the box. I mean, if you're not actually having sex, the best substitute really is sex on the TV, isn't it?
For sex, yeah. The best substitute for not having real sex, well, I suppose, and not having a wank, is, yeah, watching sex on the TV. Yeah. Watching sex. That's the... What people who don't like dirty films don't understand is that that's the best substitute for having sex is watching sex.
Yeah, so, I mean, sex is obviously, it's fundamental to human nature, so there are many aspects we can tackle this from. What we've gone for, as usual, is a potted, incoherent history of sex on television.
Of telesex, going really from the early 1980s up until the 1990s. So we're not even covering the history of TV sex. We're covering the history of a bit of TV sex that we can remember from being kids.
Yeah.
That sounds quite definitive to me.
Yeah, when you put it like that, I'm not sure exactly how listenable this is going to be.
Well, I always think they're never going to be listenable. And then, surprise, surprise, through the magic of something or other, they end up as reasonably listenable. I wouldn't say listenable, but I'd certainly say reasonably listenable. Well, as in slightly not listenable.
That could have something to do with old Swineshead's editing fingers, perhaps.
Well, it's not your editing. I think your editing's quite good, considering. I mean, what people don't realise about these bloody things is just what ends up on the cutting room floor, which, actually, thinking about it, is very little, usually, isn't it?
Well, yeah, only about 5 minutes.
Yeah, so I was wrong there. Ignore me!
Right, so beginning at the beginning... the first time I saw a pair of boobies on the television, like most people I would have thought, was in the classroom, being told about human anatomy at primary school. Sex education.
Sex education, yeah. I vaguely remember sex education from school. What it was the teacher wheeled in a TV, said, right, look at this, and we had to watch a video of, first it showed a man, then it showed a woman, and then it said, and they do all this, now off you go. And that was about it.
Yeah, how old were you when that happened?
Bloody hell. About 8, something like that.
Yeah, because they do it in waves, don't they? When I was around 8, they sat us down in what they called a library. It was just a room with some books in, really.
But, that's a library?
Yeah, well, you say that, but is it really?
I don't say, well, what would you define as a room with some books in? That's a library.
Well, I didn't tell you how many books, did I?
All right. What, is it a room with 8 books?
Well, it's a bookcase. That's not a library, is it?
No, that's a room with a bookcase.
Right, so they sat me down in what they called a library.
Right, well, they were wrong. Did it have a BBC micro computer in there?
Nope.
No, that's not a library.
Yeah, exactly. Well, you don't really need a library for kids of 8 years old, do you?
No, you just need a room with a single bookcase.
Exactly. Just getting to my point, yeah, they wheeled a TV in. Do you remember those old trolleys they used to put TVs and video recorders on?
Tron?
So anyway, they wheeled that in, and I remember we watched some 70s people playing volleyball in the nude, an entire family. Mother, father, daughter and son.
Did he have a beard?
He had a massive beard.
Right.
She had enormous pendicular melons.
Yeah, that was the thing. With old-style... I know the kind of thing you're on about, sort of naturist films from, well, like you say, 1960s, 1970s. And it was always a man with an enormous beard, a woman with, well, quite deeply unpleasant udders, and a gigantic amount of fungus downstairs playing volleyball.
By fungus, do you mean, is that like a metaphor for hair?
Hair, yeah.
They didn't have, like, genital fungus.
Well, no. They didn't have genital fungus. I hope, anyway. I was trying to be, some people are quite queasy about this sort of thing. I just want to delve in there.
So you think if we mention pubic hair, people might get prudish?
They might get offended.
All right, so, yeah, there was all these pubes spilling about everywhere.
Pubes all over the place.
Willies. Balls.
All down her back.
French flaps.
French flaps. Cloppers. It was disgusting. You know, and worst of all, they were playing it with the kids. Yeah. Wouldn't be allowed that anymore.
Well, I don't know. They probably won't
want
to be...
Are you allowed to play volleyball in the nude with your kids? Are you allowed to do that? No, you're not.
Well, I felt for the kids. Well, not in that way. But I felt
Did you now?
I felt for the kids because they were playing... they were forced to play sports with their mum and dad. And their mum and dad were naked. That must be mortifying.
Actually, yeah. I mean, to be fair, if I'd have been 5, 6 years... No, 5, you're not bothered, are you? I'd say about, if I was 10 years old and I'd been forced to play outdoor beach sports with a naked mother and father with these balls slopping about all over, I would have been mortified. It would have been hideous.
Well, I think even if you were 5, you find that sort of thing intimidating because it's very different to what you've got yourself, isn't it?
Yeah, but 5-year-old, no. I mean, 5-year-olds, I don't think they haven't really got the wherewithal yet to be bothered by anything, have they? I mean, I remember my dad having a waz next to me with his great big bloody member out, and I wasn't running around going, "Oh my God, it's dreadful," because I was about 5, you know, whatever years old. It didn't bother me.
Well, no, you say that, but it might not have traumatised you, and it wouldn't do, but it will have left an impression, I should have thought.
Well, no, the only impression it left me was the fact that for the rest of my life, I assume my father's got an 85-inch penis.
What I'm saying is it will kind of leave the impression on you that you're not yet anywhere near the adult world, and it will alienate you from your maturity.
No, I just thought he was hung like a horse. To this day, I do. Because, you know, from my perspective, it's like wham bars. I mean, you remember how when you were a kid, you thought wham bars were gigantic, but you get a wham bar nowadays, yeah?
Yeah.
And you think, these are bloody tiny, these. It's exactly the same case with these particulars, yeah? You know, because of the size I was and the size he was, bloody hell, the thing was like a fire extinguisher.
Well, you have to remember, you were probably at head height to it as well.
I was at head height to his exposed... This doesn't sound good, this...
So let's move on to kind of secondary school era.
I'm going to get taken away by social services.
Secondary school era, when you're taught about, the process of conception and childbirth. Rather than just anatomy, they move on to the big guns, don't they?
That's right, and that's when it gets to sniggering time. Because the teacher comes in and he says, "All right, this is a cock and balls, this is a fanny." And you're all... like that, and when it happened with our class, I won't mention him by name. There was one lad when the teacher went, "This is a cock and balls." Everybody went, "Hey, there's one for you," like that, as you do. Turns out he's married with kids now, obviously.
Right,
but yeah, that was about it. He went through the mechanics. Didn't point out it was fun, obviously.
Yeah, there was I remember they didn't show you the actual video footage of people having sex, but they showed you the video footage of someone giving birth, which is far more gruesome to behold.
What's that going to do with sex?
Absolutely nothing.
Yeah, giving birth has got bugger all to do with having sex. In fact, if there's anything that's going to put you off your dinner, so to speak, it'll be that. It's disgusting. I saw that video. It's hideous.
They might as well show you like a woman pooing out a melon.
Exactly, yeah. I'd rather watch a woman pooing out a melon. In fact, you'd probably pay good money for that in some specialist shops.
There was, I remember they showed us footage of two moths having sex, which was no replacement, but all the same...
Moths have sex?
Yeah, they have sex. They mount one another, don't they?
What, moths?
Yeah, moths.
What, so they've got tiny wee little cock and balls? Moth cock and balls?
Moth balls.
Moth balls! Hey! Everyone's a winner!
Father, is there anywhere on the internet I could go for informative television reviews?
Yes, my boy, there is. It's called Watch With Mothers. You'll find it incredibly informative, despite the fact that it's written by the mentally challenged.
Thank you, Father.
Do you want to introduce this bit?
I asked my friends to come and see, hey, an octopus's garden with me. One of the most litigious bands in the world, the Beatles, when it comes to copyright infringement.
So, shall I just edit all of that out?
Nah, sod it. You know, I mean, if it makes us a name, as being sued by the Beatles, who bigger can you be sued by than the Beatles?
If you haven't got any money, can they technically still sue you?
Yeah, they can still sue you, but obviously it's a Pyrrhic victory, isn't it? Because they can't get anything out of you. However, you are known as the people. This could be the best publicity stunt we've ever done. Do a Beatles tune, quick.
Oh, he's a real nowhere man. And he's sitting in his nowhere van and he's driving round your house to steal your children.
Beautiful. There you go. Blatant copyright infringement. We're in. So anyway, what we're on about now?
Harry Potter.
No, not Harry Potter. This is sex. That's a children's programme.
Enid Potter?
What?
Enid Potter.
Enid Potter. No, Enid Blyton you're thinking of. The Mad Rabbit woman. Apparently suffered from very bad, what do you call it? Is it PND, PMT, BBC? What's that one?
PMS, premenstrual stress.
PMS, that one, yeah, BBC, she had that.
Right.
And it used to send, apparently she was horrible, Beatrix Potter. No, don't believe the film.
Which Potter are we talking about?
Dennis Potter. Dennis Potter and his dirty, dirty plays. You see, on the one hand, you've got your culture show, what do you call them, Newsnight Review lot, yeah? Mm. Who sit there going, oh, this is one of the best Potters have seen so far, the subtle nuances, all that, yeah? Mm. Whereas on the other side of the coin, you've got, oh, are you watching that Dennis Potter shit? Yeah, I am, yeah. It's brilliant, isn't it? The amount of tits in it, it's fantastic.
Well, that's what kids would say, isn't it?
Exactly, because I only ever watched them for the tits. I never watched them for anything else.
Right, well, I'm sorry, but I'm going to have to take the intellectual high ground here.
Oh, right, OK, you take the intellectual high ground, and I shall take the low road, my friend, and we'll see who reaches Scotland first.
I will definitely reach Scotland
will reach Scotland first.
Yeah, but I will walk 500 miles.
Yeah, but that's... No, 500 miles is a different song. You're taking the high road, I'm taking the low road, and I'll reach Scotland afore ye.
Well, when you go, will you send back a letter from America?
I will not send a letter back from America. So fuck you! Now then, the Potters.
Enid Potter
and her dirty, dirty plays. Right, you've got Pennies from Heaven. Bang. Singing Detective. Bang. Lipstick on Your Collar. Bang. Black Eyes. Bang. Any more?
Sorry, I let out my laughter, obviously.
Any more?
Were there any more black... Have you said black eyes?
I've said black eyes, yeah.
Lipstick,
I've said that. Singer Detective, that's the eczema one. And Pennies from Heaven. Oh, there was... what was that one where there was Albert Finney's head frozen?
You what? Was that that was the futuristic one, wasn't it?
Yeah, but it was weird. One of them was shown on BBC Two and the other one was shown on Channel 4. So you had the series set in today, which was shown on, I think, BBC Two, and then he was frozen, and his head was in the future, and that was shown on Channel 4. It was like a double doodah, because Potter had died, didn't he? Did he die of eczema?
Yeah, yeah, I think he died of eczema.
He died of eczema, yeah. And he'd arranged with the BBC and Channel 4 to show one half of a shit drama each.
Right, well, I didn't see that one, but going back to the beginning, Pennies from Heaven, that barely had any boobs in it at all, did it?
Right, was that Hoskins?
That was Hoskins and his wife put lipstick on her nipples. I think that was the only tit you saw.
Oh, that's rubbish.
It was all very understated. I mean, he had an affair, didn't he? And he was accused of killing a little girl, but you only saw one pair of knockers.
Well, I never saw Pennies from Heaven. I saw the shit film, but I never saw Pennies from Heaven, because it looked a bit rubbish, and for some weird reason, nobody at school had let me in on the fact that there might have been boobs in it.
Well, that's because there weren't many boobs in it. There were two boobs in it.
Right, OK. Well, I think we can dismiss Pennies from Heaven, then, as a bad quality piece of Dennis Potter, because there wasn't enough tittage.
Yeah, let's move on to the next one.
Right, hang on. I'm just writing the word poor quality here. Hold on. Poor quality. Should I put a cross?
Well, I'm taking the intellectual high ground, so you can put on your pad what you want, but I think it's probably his best work.
Right, OK, well, I'm writing poor quality and a from me. Right, singing detective, this is the eczema one.
The thing I remember most about that isn't boobs, it's when they did Dem Bones, Dem Bones.
Right, well, you're wrong. The best bit was where Joanne Worley, off of Scandal, was... Oh, no, did she get... Was it her that got her tits out?
I can't remember.
Well, anyway, whoever it was who got her tits out, that was the best bit. I'm ticking that.
So what came after that? Black eyes?
No, apparently lipstick on your collar.
No.
I didn't see that neither. Was that a 50s thing?
That had Ewan McGregor in it. That had a lot of boobs in it.
Oh, you're kidding me. I missed it. And it had loads of boobs in.
Yeah, it was some blonde starlet. Well, she wasn't a starlet. I don't think she did any more work after that.
No,
but
hang
she
on
was...
a minute. I did see this. I did, yeah, with a blonde 50s-looking woman who was forever getting her knockers out.
Yeah, and there was a terrible Welsh actor who was really irritating.
Yes, I've remembered it now. Now you said the blonde actress who kept getting her knockers out. Yeah, I don't remember anything else about it. What was it about?
Well, the Welshman was a weak-willed gentleman who was shacked up with the strong, blonde boob woman, and Ewan McGregor fancied her, and he was an insurance clerk or something. Not much happened, to be honest.
Right, and did he have eczema?
He probably died of eczema.
Right, he died of eczema. Hang on, I'll write that down. Died of eczema. Right. So, was that a good one in your opinion, or a bad one?
Well, I was of the right age, put it that way.
Right, so it was a good one in your opinion. So let me just do a little box and a tick. Ting! Right, so that's a good bad mark for Pennies from Heaven. What did we decide on Singing Detective?
Well, I took the moral high ground.
So you've given it a cross. Well, I'm unfortunately giving it a because I can't remember if you saw Joanne Worley Kilmer's knockers. She wasn't Kilmer at that stage, was she?
Do you see them in Scandal?
Yeah, you do, yeah. Yeah, they're all right.
Hang on, this is descending from being an informative podcast about the history of sex on British television into us discussing whether or not you see tits in certain programmes.
What's wrong with that?
So, Black Eyes.
Oh, there was loads of tits in that.
I haven't seen that one.
That was the one. Do you remember Coupling?
Oh, yeah, hang on, where's this going?
Right, well, the snobby British friends, yeah? They didn't really go anywhere after Jeff left.
Yeah, I remember it, yeah.
Right. Well, not the blonde-haired one.
Are you going to say, the brunette?
The brunette, yeah.
Posh.
She was Black Eyes, and her tits were out throughout all three episodes, or four episodes, whatever it was. They were out permanently.
Hang on a sec.
What are you doing?
Just bear with me.
In my mind, this was the zenith of Dennis Potter's career, where he abandoned all storyline and just effectively had 4 hours of a woman with her boobs out. That, my friend, is art.
Keep talking.
Okay, you're looking at this on the internet. We're supposed to be doing a podcast here. Well, anyway, as a piece of art, it was wonderful. I don't know what it was about. Well, I do. Well, no, I don't. It was about some woman called Black Eyes, but the basic premise was she sat on a seat a lot with her tits out.
That sounds really good.
So I think I'll be giving that a ting. There you go. What about you with your moral eyebrows? With your moral eyebrows?
My moral eyebrows are currently arched at the thought of the woman out of Coupling sitting on a seat with a brassiere off.
Well, those sound like pretty moral eyebrows. So from that... Who do you think got to Scotland first?
Probably the Proclaimer with glasses.
Right, the Proclaimer with glasses, what, as opposed to the other Proclaimer with glasses.
Yeah.
They're a bit like Ant and Dec, aren't they?
Well, no, because Ant and Dec aren't identical twins.
Well, they are, and the Proclaimers are very similar to them. You see, on the one hand, you've got two fellas from Newcastle, and on the other hand, you've got two fellas from Scotland, and there's two of them, and they're both quite small.
Yeah, interchangeable then.
Yeah, what I mean is you can't tell them apart.
Yeah, but you can, can't you?
You can't. They look exactly the same as one another.
What, Ant and Dec?
No, the Scottish ones. We'll be right back.
Okay, on to another show, moving forward in time a bit, even though the Potters spanned quite a long period of time.
Well, yeah, the Potters went from the 70s to the 90s, didn't they?
True, so disregard my last statement. We're moving on to a show I never saw. Please fill me in.
Right, I don't know why you never saw Oranges Are Not the Only Fruit. It was well advertised by the BBC and the Daily Mail before it came on as lesbian shocker. So, as a small boy, a dirty boy, and don't forget, I remember you as a boy, you were a dirty little boy, how come you didn't watch it?
Well, I remember seeing the lead actress, and as I recall, she was a bit boyish.
Right.
Had red hair, wasn't very attractive. So, to my uncultured mind, that wasn't worth watching.
Right, so you missed out on the fact that she has not one, but two lesbian affairs. One with a lovely blonde-haired girl and one with a lovely Asian girl. You missed that bit.
Well, you have to remember that I was the youngest of three brothers and there was hardcore German smut available to me under my brother's bed.
Right, so, yeah, fair enough. I can understand why you wouldn't watch it then. So, I mean, to be honest with you, I can understand, looking back, say it was my age now and they advertised on the TV, I wouldn't watch it either. I mean, I don't know, do you know the story of Oranges Are Not the Only Fruit?
Not really, isn't it? About a young lesbian coming of age, discovering herself, etc.
Yeah, except that she's a member of a Pentecostal, strict Pentecostal church in, I think, Yorkshire or Lancashire or somewhere like that. And as a consequence, they think she's possessed by demons. So they're exorcising her and all this, and it's all a load of Salvation Army-type people who are all very well-meaning and what have you, but eventually lesbianism goes out of control, as it often does, and, yeah, they disown her from the church.
So
and it's only then that she's happy, because she's an out-of-control lesbian.
So what's that out-of-control?
Well, she goes out of... Well, she carries on, she carries on doing lesbian stuff. She goes out of control.
Well, there's nothing wrong with that, is there?
There's nothing, not from my point of view, but from the point of view of a Pentecostal minister in the 1970s, in a small church community in Yorkshire or Lancashire, then that's out of control because they told her to stop it.
So what do they do at the end? Do they strangle her?
No, they don't strangle her. They disown her.
Right, there's no violence.
No, there's no... What you effectively have is you have a girl, you know, she goes to church, then she suddenly decides she likes fannies, you know, so she has a bit of that. And all the people at the church disapprove, so she says she's not going to do that anymore, but then she has a bit more fanny, and they say, no, we've had enough of that, and so she leaves, and that's the end of it. That's Oranges Are Not the Only Fruit in a nutcase. No? a nutshell.
By a nutcase.
Eh?
Nothing. So, did you enjoy it?
No, I didn't. No, I thought it was bloody awful. The only bit I enjoyed was a lesbian bits, because when it was on, I was a teenager, and so you like that sort of thing at that age.
How explicit was it?
It was quite explicit. There was boobage, there was fannage, you know, there was bummage, not bumming, but there was you know what they get up to. Not they. I'm not being personal. You know what I mean? What two young ladies in the first flush of love get up to, well, as much as you can get away with, on BBC Two at 9 o'clock.
Did this cause some kind of furore?
It did. It caused a stink, especially, like I say, with the Daily Mail, because, well, not only did it have tits and what have you in it, but it also had lesbians. And at the time, it was still acceptable for papers like The Sun, the Daily Mail and all the rest of it to go bloody ballistic whenever you had anything to do with gay stuff on the telly.
Yeah, they did like to go ballistic. They still do a bit, don't they?
Yeah, they still do, but they're not really allowed to do it in the way they used to do. I mean, in the olden days, it was blatant homophobia, whereas now they have to kind of go, oh, it's disgraceful, all this sex on TV, sort of malarkey, because they can't say... I mean, do you remember EastEnders when you had Colin and Barry on there?
Was it Barry? Was that his name?
Yeah, Colin and Barry, the gay couple. They had a gay kiss on there, and at the time, all the paper, this is disgusting, you know, it was actually, you know, things like this is sick, blah, blah, blah. You couldn't do that now, because you'd get hauled before the law, wouldn't you?
Well, did you see Nicholas Griffin on the Question Time?
I did see Nick Griffin on Question Time. Yeah, I thought, didn't he carry himself off well?
Yeah, he went down a storm around my house.
Yeah, I thought he was. I thought he was a genuinely interesting public speaker. If the public speaker in question had suffered mild brain damage just before he went on the stage.
My favourite bit was probably where he said, "Now I, like many others in the community, find the sight of gay people kissing a little bit creepy."
Yeah, just a little bit creepy. Which made him sound like a low-rent 1970s DJ.
What is that voice he's got? What is the accent?
Just a little bit creepy.
I find it just a little bit creepy.
Just a little bit creepy. I mean, I think quite a lot of people who watched Question Time that night found Nick Griffin and some of the weird fantasy land rubbish that comes out of his mouth just a little bit creepy.
It's kind of got a little bit of Gordon Britas in there.
A Gordon Britas? Oh, I used to like that.
You know what, Colin? I find this a little bit creepy.
Just a wee little bit creepy.
Yeah. Oranges.
I've got sweaty buttocks.
So, what exactly were there... When they had the lesbian sex... Was there any citrus involved at all?
Citrus?
Well, it's called oranges are not the only fruit.
Oh, well, no, I think she's alluding there because she's... Have you ever read the book?
No.
Right, of course not. Well, the missus had it. No, did you have it? Oh, no, you borrowed it, didn't you? You borrowed it off Kev.
Me?
Oranges are not the only fruit. Right, yeah, I had a friend called Kev. She borrowed the book off him, yeah? And the introduction to it is, oh, I mean, we're on about Newsnight Review here, yeah?
Mm, yeah.
It's just pure Newsnight Review.
What do you mean?
It's just so posh and feminist and everything, yeah?
Right.
Right? So what I'm saying about the title is, oranges are not the fruit. That's the thing she's saying there. That there's not just oranges in the world. You know what I mean?
So it's a metaphor.
Yeah, what she should have called it was, there's not just oranges in the world. Do you know what I mean? And maybe had somebody on the front cover winking. And maybe nudging their head towards a tit.
Welcome to the Watch with Mothers mini-amble. Is that all right?
And so, it's around about this time we like to have a little break that we call the mini-amble.
Obla-dee, obla-da, life goes on, bruh, da-da-da-da-da-da-da. Carry on, shit. Sorry, I dropped me thing.
There's something in the way you move.
Attracts me like no other lover. Lover, not lover, lover.
Should we start again?
Something in the way she moves attracts me just like my mother did. Oh, you can't do that.
It's around about this time we like to take a break, sit back, have a midi-amble.
Oh, right, is that what we're doing now?
Yeah, we're talking about the pressing issues for the Watch With Mothers website.
Right. Are you like me in thinking this new direction Cambry's Fingers have taken is a bit extreme?
What have they done?
Well, you know what a Cambry's Finger is, obviously. Chocolate shortbread. Bang.
Yeah, bang. Yeah.
Yeah? Well, now they've brought out a Cambry's chocolate finger. And it's chocolate and chocolate biscuit. That's not right, is it?
No, it's got to be shortbread.
It's got to be shortbread. That's double chocolate. No, I'm not having that. Cambry's, stop it.
Yeah, while you're there, you could have a word with them about their tea cakes, because I don't approve of those.
Why? What have they done to the tea cake?
They've not changed them, I've just never liked them.
Well, but they're effectively a Cadbury's finger that somebody's taken a hammer to.
Are we talking about the same ones, with the marshmallow in the middle?
You're thinking of the Tunnock's tea cake.
Oh, okay. Well, have a word with Tunnock while you're about it.
I'll have a word with Tunnock. Hang on. Let me just write this down. First, I'm going to go to Birmingham. Have a word with Cadbury's. Then I'm going to go up to Scotland. A word with Tunnock's. Okay. Well, that's the first thing off the agenda, then. On the agenda.
That wasn't even on the agenda, talking about biscuits.
No, it wasn't. Sorry. No, I added it to the agenda at the last minute. So what is on the agenda for the mid-amble today?
Well, I don't know. We were going to talk about our Canadian stalker. But does he deserve the publicity?
For those people who aren't in the know, this is James from Canada, who today sent me a... well, I don't know what it was. What was it?
It was sort of a soundscape.
Yeah, featuring clips of us. Well, he asked a question and then played a clip of either me, you or Pete answering the question. That's as far as I got. I couldn't listen to all of it. It was awful.
It was a bit like being sent a videotape of yourself performing actions that you didn't know were on video.
Exactly. Or a videotape of you just going about your daily business, but clearly done on a long lens from perhaps a tree.
Yeah, it was slightly unsettling.
Or maybe even receiving a pair of your own soiled underpants through the post.
Well, hang on, the logistics of that don't add up, do they?
They do add up, because that's the sort of thing stalkers do. Somehow, even if you never leave your house, like yourself, he's managed to get in there, steal a pair of your dirty underpants, use them for whatever purpose, God knows what he's doing, and then mail them back to you.
Has he done?
I think we both know what they're covered in.
Has he done that?
He has.
He's saying he's in my bathroom at the moment?
Yeah, stealing your underpants. You're listening to Watch with Mothers.
Yeah, he wasn't there. He must have made a quick getaway.
Yeah, well, anyway, stop that. So that's that off the agenda. Is there anything else?
Well, we've had comments, but nothing particularly outrageous. We've had one from a gentleman. It was a favourable comment, and it was 5 stars, but his name perturbed me.
Yeah, what was his name?
The Castrator.
The Castrator?
Yeah.
Jesus, that's a hell of a name.
Yeah, but that's the only other...
What was he saying? Lol.
I can't remember what he said. He said something about we made a bit of wee come out. But if it's been castrated, how can a bit of wee come out?
Because castration involves your balls. It doesn't involve having your knob cut off.
That's a good point.
Yeah, you can still urinate after being castrated. I mean, in the olden days, he used to have a class of singer, didn't they, known as the castrato, who had his balls chopped off, and as a consequence could sing very high. So, for instance, he could be singing, just to pick a song at random, he could be singing, "She loves you, yeah, yeah, yeah. She loves you, yeah, yeah, yeah." I don't think there's any copyright issues with that, is there?
Well, he wouldn't sing like that, because that sounded like someone whose balls dropped trying to sing high. But if you were a castrato, I'm thinking of eunuch, aren't I?
Eunuch? No, eunuchs were the sort of people you got in harems. Again, they'd had their balls cut off, but they were used for the purposes of servicing the sultan's maidens, the sultan's dusky maidens in the harems. Obviously, the sultan was only capable of servicing one lady at a time.
Right, but
unless he had instruments.
How can they service ladies if they've had their balls chopped off?
Because they can still get an erection and all that. It's just they can't get them pregnant.
You can't have, can you get an erection if you've got no balls?
Yeah, of course you can. You're not cutting off the instrument of engorgement, are you?
Well, no, but you're cutting off the thing that contains the magic.
Semen. That's it. You know nothing of animal husbandry. Not animals. No, I'm thinking of sheep. Is that off the agenda?
Do you think we should carry on having these midiambles?
Well, I don't know. I think this was going all right, isn't it? How do you think the podcast is going anyway?
Do you want my honest opinion?
Yeah, go on.
Not brilliantly.
Right, well, we better get on with it then. I got this hideous diarrhea. I'm coming out of my anus. I'd rather be tune time to light your fag.
Sorry about that.
We're launching into my favourite bit.
So, we are now talking about a show that went out early 90s, was it?
1992.
Yep, I was accurate and correct as always. This was the Chamomile Lawn.
You mean as always? You're not always correct.
Generally.
All right then, fair enough. Yeah, right, so the Chamomile Lawn. This is a classic. I mean, I'd think this was the ultimate in watching a show purely because there was a promise of tits on, a really boring show that there was a promise of tits on. Camille Lawn took the biscuit for that. Can you remember anything about the show other than floating tits?
Tits on a train, a moving train.
Tits on a train, and obviously Tara Fitzgerald's slightly disappointing tits, from my point of view.
Well, you say it's we watched it just for the tits. I think they made it just for the tits.
Well, no, they didn't. I mean, it was originally The Camomile Lawn is a 1980s book, and it actually apparently has a story. Now, the four-part show that I watched, I don't remember any story. But a slight dusting of research that I did this morning, did you know, for instance, it had Felicity Kendall and Paul Eddington in it?
I knew it had Paul Eddington in it, yeah, but he's the bloke out of Yes Minister, wasn't he?
Yeah, and The Good Life, of which Felicity Kendall played a pivotal role.
Yeah, no,
but I don't remember them in it. I don't remember anybody in it.
Do you not remember the bit where you had your trousers buttoned up? They would appear.
Yeah, well, I didn't. To be honest with you, when you were watching The Camomile Lawn, the first thing you did when it came on was take your trousers off, remove your underpants, prepare yourself for the field of battle that would be coming up. And hope to God that this was the episode that contained Calypso's floating tits.
Yeah, but most people of my age anyway, their parents were in the house, so you couldn't just get totally naked. It was an opportunistic thing, wasn't it?
Why not?
We didn't want your mum walking in with a special cup of tea for you when you're, you know, in flagrante.
I wouldn't have cared less.
Are you serious?
There, naked, wanking over the Camomile Lawn, specifically Calypso's floating knockers, and if she'd walked in, get out! I'm busy! Get out, can't you see? Can't you see I'm doing something here? Get out!
I recall you used to have your club internationals lined up proudly on display, didn't you?
Yeah, I was very, I'm very proud of my pornography. And I don't see why I should be ashamed of it. So, yeah, if she had walked in to find me on my knees, gurning, with my engorged member in my hand, shouting, Calypso's tits! I think she'd have understood.
Well, they do understand, don't they? That's what mothers are for.
They do. I remember she did once walk in while I was about my business, and I immediately, quick as a flash, went, Mum, I've got an itch. She saw through that. How are you now? Do you want to go to the doctors? No.
Well,
can
she
you
would.
Leave, please.
So the Camomile Lawn. Anything else to say about it at all? It was just a tit fest, really, wasn't it?
Well, to me, all I was interested in was the tits. The tits I was interested in specifically were Jennifer Ely's tits. Jennifer Ely played the strange-voiced Calypso. Remember, she had a weirdly strange voice, all clipped and posh.
Well, that was kind of what helped make her a little bit sexier than she would have been, wasn't it?
What, not the fact that she was floating naked in a bath?
Well, it was just a lovely peripheral adornment, wasn't it, her voice?
Well, so she's on the phone. Hello, I'm Calypso. I'm on the phone hearing me floating tits.
Well, I recall there was a bit where she was the tits on the train segment, where she was not just lying there naked with her breasts wobbling all over the place. She was also saying, fuckity, 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 fuck.
Oh, fuckity, 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 fuck.
Which made it all the more exciting.
Yes, that's right, actually. She had a fanny out then and all.
Hello there. You're listening to the smooth and groovy sounds of Watch With Mothers. Here to entertain you in your ears as you go to sleep or perhaps masturbate into a calf. Watch With Mothers.
I've got a Sega.
And an Amiga.
And an Atari ST.
I got a Commodore.
A number 64.
And that's the one for me. Hello there.
Hello.
Where were we anyway? Where were we? Because we're recording on a different day, aren't we?
Yeah, so it feels like we're starting afresh when in fact we're towards the end of the podcast.
Well, we certainly are. What have we covered so far? We've covered the Potters, the Oranges, the Mid-Amble, the Camomile. So there's not much left now, is there really?
Well, no, part one was mainly the preamble. We haven't done the preamble.
The what?
part one was mainly about tits. Part two, I think we covered tits. Yeah, part three, we mainly did boobs.
Right.
Four was generally based around tits.
Like, was that floating tits?
No, that was part five. That was chamomile lawn, so that was the
right,
floating tits.
Right, that was floating tits. Well, that only leaves us with Smut's last hurrah.
Smut's last hurrah. Namely, Lady Chatterley's lover.
It certainly was, starring Sean Bean and the lovely Joely Richardson. I don't know, is she still lovely?
I don't know, is she the one that died skiing?
No, she's the sister of the one that died skiing. She comes from an acting dynasty, I think. Her father was probably Ralph Richardson, who was at the end of the... what's that film with the dwarves? You say dwarves now?
Dwarlocks.
Dwarlocks? No, dwarves. Can you say dwarves? There's a name for them, isn't there?
Was she in Time Bandits? Was she Fidget?
Eh?
Was she in Time Bandits?
Time Bandits, that's a bloody one, yeah. She, do you know the old fella that comes out at the end?
Yeah, God.
Who's God? Yeah, that's probably her dad, because he's got the last name Richardson as well. So that's her dad. As far as I remember, her mother's Vanessa Redgrave. Her sister is the one that died, that was married to Harry Nilsson. Do you remember him?
Harry, are you sure she was in Dynasty? Because I remember, are you sure it wasn't Dallas?
Dynasty? When did I say she was in Dynasty?
I'm sure that's what you said before you started talking about Dwarlocks.
No, dwarves. Can you say dwarves?
I'm sure you can say dwarves, yeah, it's a medical condition.
Excuse me?
So, Lady Chatterley's Lover.
Lady Chatterley, did you watch it?
I saw the sequel, Lady Chatterley's Mother.
Lady Chatterley's Mother? What about Lady Chatterley's Grandmother, for specialist interest? I think that was on Bravo.
Well, I think her mother was her sister's brother, but I'm not sure. But, yeah, I did see some of it. I saw the rude bits.
Right, was Chuck Norris in it?
He wasn't. Sean Bean was in it.
Sean Bean? Sean Bean, who, you don't like Sean Bean, do you?
Oh, I don't mind him. I saw him play Macbeth at the theatre.
Did you see that thing where he was in love with a German shepherd?
What, like a proper relationship?
Well, it was it's quite romantic.
What the hell are you talking about?
There was a drama on the telly, and I'm not making this up, where Sean Bean was in love with a German shepherd.
Okay.
There was a bit where he was in the bath with it.
In bath with a dog?
He were in bath with dog. And I can't remember the name of the dog. Was it Rex? Something like that, anyway. But eventually, I think his wife leaves him, or his wife, behind his back, as the dog put down, the bitch.
Well,
it's a bit like Kez. It's a bit like Kez, but with a dog.
Joely Richardson isn't a dog. We can say that with a great degree of safety. All I remember, in terms of sexual scenes, was a very urgent and hurried pummeling from behind against a tree.
Yeah, there was that, and there was also a bit inside, and she was all lit up by the fire, so she was a bit orange, like she'd got a suntan. But in that, she was fully nude.
Blimey, I must have missed that bit.
Whoa, that was good, that. That was a bit you really waited for. So if you watch Lady Chatterley's Lover and you missed that bit, you fucked it.
Yeah, I did. I mistimed it. But as we were discussing in the... what do we call that bit where we aren't recording, we're just talking about what we're going to say?
Briefing? Grasshoppers?
Yeah, in the Grasshoppers, we were talking about how that was really Sex on Telly's last hurrah.
It certainly was. From our point of view, anyway, because when we were boys, we didn't have access to the internet, did we? There was no such thing as these. Well, there was the internet, but it was called teletext in them days, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Or C-fax.
A bit slower as well, and you could only really do the bamboozle competition. That was the only exciting thing, apart from football scores.
Well, there was a soap opera on there, which that was rubbish. But they didn't really have any sort of pixelated knockers, did they?
No, generally not.
No, so the only thing as a teenage boy that you could, apart from porn you found in hedges, obviously, and along railway tracks, which we'll get to in a minute, but about the only way you had access to knockers, fannies, the other one, backsides, was by watching weird four-part boring dramas on the TV. Now, weirdly, I think that expanded your educational mind, because because you had to sit through this shit, French films, German films, boring drama serials and all the rest of it, you ended up accidentally watching really highbrow stuff that educated your mind. And really, all you were looking for was boobies.
Did it really educate your mind? I'm not sure.
Yeah, it did.
When I watched Céline et Julie Vonto Bateau, which I think is either a Fellini or Godard film in the Nouveau Vague.
Was that one of the Delta Force films?
What happens in Delta Force films?
You got Chuck Norris, he goes into Vietnam.
Do you get...
Well, no, he's an ex-Vietnam vet, kills a lot of people. Norris.
Do you get prolonged scenes of French women with small breasts showering?
No, you get a lot of neck snappings. Kung Fu, there's a lot of Kung Fu in it.
There was no neck snapping as far as I recall. It was mainly French women in a boat occasionally having a shower.
Right, is there a bit where it's on a boat and it's night time and there's some enemies and Norris comes up from out of the water and snaps their necks?
No, like I said, I don't think there was any neck snapping, mainly small-breasted showering.
Right, I think we've got our wires crossed here because I'm talking about Delta Force.
Yeah, I think you're right. If we carry on talking at cross purposes, it'll lead to the road to nowhere. So maybe we should go back to what were you talking about, hedge porn?
Hedge porn. Well, obviously, I mean, I'll just conclude in saying that today's young men are not being educated in the way they used to be because they're not being forced to watch hours of hideous drama on a promise of 6 seconds of tits. So in that respect, the internet is done for people because now you've got 24-hour tits, haven't you? 24 hours.
Is it 24 hours? Well, I suppose on the internet it is, yeah.
On the internet? I mean, could you imagine being, I don't know, 14 now with broadband internet access in your bedroom?
I suspect I would have... Well, I just wouldn't have a penis left.
No, I wouldn't. I'd have a stump.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'd have a stump. I'd have white, milky skin. I'd look like Gollum, but without a cock.
I probably wouldn't have any pants left. I'd just have a sort of basket made out of dried sperm around my waist.
With a permanently juddering right hand that just never stops, spasming all the time and just muttering under your breath. Must have the porn. Must watch the porn.
Yeah, and if you did have a penis left, it would have sort of indented knuckle marks like a steering wheel.
Yeah, welts, sores, clusters.
You'd definitely be bow-legged.
You would. You'd be bow-legged, milky-skinned. You'd have a stump for a penis covered in knuckles. It'd be hideous. But you wouldn't mind. I mean, I don't know how young lads nowadays actually manage to get out of their bedrooms, quite frankly.
Well, it's a tribute to them, really, isn't it?
It is, really, because if I'd have had that access to porn, and obviously, if I could get past the parental controls... If there's any parents listening to this, and they're using parental controls... Your kid knows how to get past them. But, yeah, obviously, if I'd got past those, that'd be it. That'd be the death of me. I'd have wanked myself to death by the age of 17.
Yeah, but as you were saying, in our day, it was all about stumbling into hedgerows, shrubberies, and basically finding what some pervert had left behind in a hurry.
Well, that's right. And there was a place near you that always used to contain ripped-up pornography. It was always ripped up, wasn't it?
Weather-beaten, yeah.
Weather-beaten, jizz-spattered, ripped to shreds. But it was you'd find it along, like I say, hedgerows and copses. Along railway tracks was popular.
Yeah.
So, I mean, you really did have to go and root for it. And again, it gave us a lot of exercise in those days.
Yeah, it was sort of like, I suppose old men do the same thing with metal detectors and Saxon jewellery.
That's what we were doing.
Inbuilt porn detectors.
Yeah, so we'd go foraging for porn. We'd get a lot of exercise. Not like nowadays where they're cooped up inside with their PlayStations.
Yeah, on their Xbox.
On the Nintendos, all that. There were none of that because, you had computers, but they took 25 minutes to load and they had no saves. So you got killed repeatedly and then realised that was shit. So you went outside on a porn hunt, you got loads of exercise, and then you got home, and then you expanded your mind with highbrow drama.
Well, you say that, but Chamomile Lawn wasn't exactly highbrow drama, and Lady Chatterley's Lover, it was a poor adaptation of what isn't D.H. Lawrence's best work.
Well, what's D.H. Lawrence's best work, then?
Did he
is
do...
It that, is it that one, what do you call it, Bravo 2-0?
No, I was going to say he did something similar to that, didn't he?
What, he wrote Bravo 2-0?
No, go through the SAS books.
The SAS books? Well, you've got the SAS Survival Handbook.
That was it.
Oh, he wrote that?
I think that was D.H. Lawrence, wasn't it?
That's superb, that. That tells you, that's the best book I've ever read, yeah? That tells you that there's only one part of a polar bear you can't eat.
Which bit?
The spleen. You can't eat the spleen. Apparently, it's poisonous to human beings. But you can eat anything else. You can eat the teeth. You can eat the eyes. You can eat the paws. You can eat the arse. You can eat its cock and balls. You can eat anything off a polar bear as long as you avoid the spleen.
Can you eat the toes?
Yeah, anything. You name a part of a polar bear. Ask me. Right, ask me. But ask me what bit of a polar bear. Go on, ask me.
Toes.
Yeah, you can eat the toes.
The nose.
The nose, you can eat that.
Do they have buttocks?
Yeah.
Snout.
Yeah, you can eat snout.
Groin.
Yeah, you can eat the groin. You can eat any, like I say, as long as you don't name the spleen. In fact, say, can you eat the spleen?
I'll do a few more and slip it in.
All right, go on then.
Can you eat the knees?
Yeah, you can eat his knees.
Elbows?
Elbows, yes.
Can you eat the spleen?
No, no you can't. That, my friend, is the kind of information you pick up when you read proper books.
Was he floating, Tito Calypso? Las tetas flotantes en los buenos. She's on the boat. But she's not alone with Las Tetas Flotantes de Calypso. Hola! Alonso's buoyant abubatas. Deseo que puedo ese baño. I'm a big fan. Let me get my hat on the floating teats of a Calypso. Ole!
So, I can't actually remember if we've covered sex on the telly.
Oh, Martha, my dear, you have always been my inspiration. Please be good to me. Do-be-do-do. What was that you were saying?
I was saying that I'm not sure if we've actually covered sex in its entirety because I can't remember what we did 2 days ago.
Yeah, we have. No, like I said earlier, we did the Potters, Oranges, Chamomiles, Lady Chatterley's. The only thing we've not mentioned TV sex-wise is Tipping the Velvet, which was Victorian lesbians, and Queer as Folk, which was 90s gay blokes. But, well, they're obvious, aren't they? That's it. That's the sex.
And they're also post-porn on the internet, so they're redundant.
Exactly. They're post-smuts, last hurrah. We could ignore them.
Yeah.
Yeah, because no self-respecting teenage boy sat up and went through 4 episodes of Tipping the Velvet and 2 series of Queer as Folk. No, they didn't do it. They had it all on the internet.
What about Eurotrash? We never discussed that.
Well, Eurotrash was mainly udders covered in shit.
Not just covered in shit. They sometimes had paint and foam.
Here we off are to Belgium's shit museum. And as you can see, this woman's got her udders covered in shit. Back to you, Jean-Claude Van Damme. Not Jean-Claude. What was his name?
Antoine de Cavalier or something?
Antoine de Cavalier and Jean-Claude Van Damme. No.
It was Jean-Pierre Rainbow.
John. No, it wasn't. He wore a skirt. He had blonde hair.
Oh, that sounds like Madonna. Jean-Pierre Madonna.
Jean-Pierre Madonna.
Right, so I think that brings us to the end of our trip down the red light district of television history.
I must say, I'm quite randy after all that.
Well, hold that in, rein it in, because next week we're going to be covering violence.
Violence. The seedy world of violence, of TV violence. What's that mean, then? Is that all... Is that that John Thor hitting somebody, is it? John Thor?
Well, we'll start off with that, because that's kind of innocent by today's standards, isn't it?
Well, yeah, nowadays, John Thor's dead.
Well, yeah, he wouldn't really be able to land a punch on your brow. So, actually, thinking about it, is there much TV violence these days?
Yeah, there's loads, mate. There's loads. Tons.
What like?
Well, you got the Sweeney.
Yeah, that was the 70s.
You got Inspector Morse.
That's not really very violent.
You got Kavanagh QC.
Who's that?
It's a John Thor thing where he played a barrister. You've got Goodbye, Mr. Tom. That had John Thor in it.
Home to Roost.
Home to Roost with John Thor and Reese Dinsdale, whatever his name was. I think it was that, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Yes, there's loads.
Loads we can cover there.
Yeah, there's loads. Violence. Don't worry, I know everything about it.
You're not very good at being violent, though, are you?
Me?
Yeah.
Well, I'm all right.
Yeah, you reckon you can handle yourself?
I reckon I can handle myself, yeah. I mean, say if you put me up against, for instance, a six-year-old girl, who all she wanted was some lollipop money, I could easily smack her to the ground.
Why would you want to smack a six-year-old girl?
I don't want to, but if she stood between me and the lollipop money...
Well, she's left you no option, really, has she?
Yeah, she hasn't, yeah. It's either give her the lollipop money... Or, smack her to the ground, have the lollipops for myself.
Right, well, on that note, hold back that violence till next week.
Will do, yeah. Let's just hope no little children get in my way of the lollipops.
Yeah, I'm not really sure where you're going with the lollipops and the little girls, so...
Better not have my lollipops!
So it's goodbye from me, goodbye everybody, and it's goodbye from Napoleon.
Bye! Watch with mothers.